Good morning, everybody. Well, it's an adventure every Sunday, isn't it? It's interesting. We are a work in progress. As a church and as individuals. Lord, your word says that you, who have begun a good work in us, is faithful to complete it. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for this time, for this day, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that through all adversities, you're still here with us. We're still here. Lord, I pray that you'd open up heaven for us this morning. We need your word. We need your instruction. We need your guidance. We need your presence. We need you, Lord. And we know from past experience that you'll be here. And that you are here. Bless your word today, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today is kind of an anniversary for me. It was 6 years ago today. It also happened to be Father's Day that I preached my first sermon here. But sadly, it was also a day that Mike Hobby had the stroke that would take his life. That would allow him to go home to be with the Lord. I better say that the way I should say it. But you know what? They gave us up for dead then. We're still here. A little over 14 months ago, when Linda passed away, they gave us up for dead again. But God has other plans, doesn't he? Today is Father's Day. And I'm going to be speaking about, well, anyway, the references are going to be about our Father. In fact, that's probably what I could entitle this sermon, Our Father. Because I'm going to be talking about the Lord's Prayer. Because you get right down to it, out of all the things that he is, you know, a lot of it is accessed by prayer, isn't it? Our relationship is based on communication with him, with prayer. The disciples said, teach us how to pray. That was in Luke. We're going to be in Matthew. Romans 8:26 says, we know not what we should pray for as we ought. I'm going to start with our opening scripture. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. Vain repetitions, repeating it mechanically. Some churches do that. They have something they just repeat over and over again. You know, this prayer prayer, the Lord's Prayer, isn't a magical charm. We don't use it superstitiously. Some people say it's a Jewish-only prayer. You know, Matthew was written, directed mainly towards the, it is for everybody, don't get me wrong, but it was mainly written for the Jewish people. But it's also, this prayer is also in a condensed version recorded in Luke, which was written to a someone named Theophilus, which is a very Greek name, isn't it? It means lover of God or loved by God. And it could either be a person or it could be people. I believe it doesn't really matter because they're both for us. Because you get right down to it, who's it addressed to? It's about him. It's always about him, isn't it? Our Father who art in heaven. You know, I was thinking the other day that a lot of people say that they can't memorize scripture, but yet this is probably one of the earliest passages of scripture. There's 7 verses that get memorized. Because most believers know it. So don't think you can't memorize scripture, because you probably already have. And you don't even think about it that way. After this manner, pray ye, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You notice it says our Father. And it says, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You notice all the pronouns are plural. See, we're all in this together, aren't we? And we're supposed to be praying for one another, so we're supposed to include them in our prayers. Excuse me. This is also a prayer that's appropriate and encouraged for group prayer. But also it's intended to be prayers, as I said, for our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Our Father. He is our Father. Jesus said, what father of you, if someone asked for bread, one of your children asked for bread, would give him a stone? He provides good things for us. 1 John 3:1, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. God is our Father. You know, when I was ministering in the jail, the inmates there had a hard time with the concept of Father, referring to God as the Father. Because most of them didn't really have a very good relationship with their fathers. Many of them, their fathers weren't even around. But God is what a father should be. He's the role model. He's what every father should strive to be. The perfect father. He's our Father. We see this 3 ways. The first way is by creation. Malachi 2:10, have we not all one Father? Have not one God created us? The second way is by covenant relationship between the Father and the Son. And because of our relationship with the Son. Because God is His Father, He is our Father. John 20:17. Go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Our Father. The third way is by regeneration. When we're born again, we're made partakers of the divine nature. 2 Peter 1:4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. Like Father, like Son. You've heard that expression, haven't you? When we become His, when we become His children, we're supposed to be taking on His nature. Adam and Eve took on God's nature when they were created. But then they sinned, they fell, and they took on the nature of the enemy. When we become saved, we get delivered from that, and we become born again with a new Father. Galatians 4:6, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. That's really a term of endearment. It means like daddy. Do we think of God as daddy? Our Father. You know, years ago I worked at a mill in Oregon. I worked there for 13 years. And I worked in a department that, because I worked swing shift, we ended up working an awful lot of overtime because there was a schedule that had to be finished. And I sometimes, day shift didn't have to worry about that, but swing shift that I worked, guess what? I saw a couple times and we were still there when day shift came in the next morning. Technically, they're only supposed to work as 13 hours a day, or the most, at the most. But like I said, there's a couple times there we're there all night. We worked 5, 6, sometimes 7 days. I didn't like working Sunday. It didn't happen very often. One night I was working, it was a Saturday. And I'd get off work about 2 o'clock in the morning. That was probably after about, 11, 12 hours. And I'm driving home. And I realized it was no longer Saturday. Then I realized what day it was. And so I kind of looked up in the air and I said, Happy Father's Day. Because that's what it was. Then I said, Are you surprised? You ever say anything stupid to God? I bet you do. I bet I'm not the only one. That's probably the stupidest thing I ever said. Of course He's not surprised. He's our Father. In the Old Testament, in times of trouble, His people pleaded this relationship to God. Isaiah 64:6-8. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us, and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father, we are the clay, and thou art potter, and we all are the work of the of thy hand. You are the pot, you are the, we are the clay, you are the potter. He shapes us and forms us. Read Jeremiah 18, the potter's house. Sometimes that shaping and forming, we can feel him pulling on us and shaping us and molding us like that piece of clay. And that's the type of fathers we're supposed to be with our children. We're supposed to shape them. We're supposed to mold them. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou art potter, and we all are the work of thy hand. Our Father. Our Father which art in heaven. God is everywhere. But his throne, the seat of his government, is in heaven. When we pray, whether we look up or whether we look down, we lift up our hearts to him. We lift our loved ones up to him. We lift our petitions up to him. Up. He's high above us. And yet, even though he's high above us, he came down to our level, didn't he? There's a song about that I like. When we couldn't go up to him, he came down to us. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed means holy. You notice it doesn't say hallowed is thy name. It says hallowed be thy name. This is actually a petition. May your name be holy in my life, in all our lives. Holy, consecrated, venerated, sanctified. Hallowed be thy name. You know, one of our commandments is, one of the Ten Commandments is, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. That has a lot of meanings. He's very jealous of his name. He's very protective of his name. He takes it seriously. Thy name. You know, it's not just how we refer to him. It's everything he is. The Hebrew word for name is Shem. It means not just name, nomenclature. It means title. It means characteristic. Literally, it means everything he is. And just like a wife takes the name of her husband, we take his name. Because that's the type of relationship that we're entering into. That's the type of relationship it's going to be, because we are the bride of Christ. Keep his name holy. We're supposed to honor his name. Honor the family name. Have you ever heard that when you were growing up? About honoring the family name? What will the neighbors think? That's what I used to hear that a lot. Psalm 20, verse 1, the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Proverbs 18, 10, his name is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. We pray in the name of Jesus, don't we? In the name of Jesus, because that's like a signet ring. That's something that gives us the authority with the Father when we pray that we're coming in your Son's name. And that's important. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come. That's his authority, his control, his government will come. So it's kind of good to be praying for it, isn't it? Isn't it good to be in agreement with him about what he's going to do anyway? But that also means, may it come in us. This is a petition also. That he would establish his throne in us. Thy kingdom come is admitting that we have been under the dominion of sin and of Satan. It's repenting and submitting to God's control and his will. His will. That's the next thing that it talks about in this prayer. Thy will be done. Jesus prayed this. We are to also. In fact, he tells us to right here, doesn't he? Years ago, we had a friend. We called her Joyful Judy. She was an evangelist. And she was one of the most boldest people for the Lord I've ever met. But she asked me to pray for her one day. And I did. And at the end of the prayer, I said, "Thy will be done." She got mad. She said, "You just ruined the whole thing. Why do we want something if it isn't His will? If it's not His will, I don't want it." Thy will be done. Who are we to dictate to God what His will should be? Who is God? And who isn't? I'm not God. I tried that once in my life. I tried to be in control of everything. It didn't work. I gave up control to Him. And I actually ended up with more control than I ever had in the first place because I never had control. The Apostle Peter, in Acts chapter 10, God showed him a vision of all these unclean animals coming down in a sheet before him. And God said, "Arise, Peter, kill and eat." He basically said, "No, Lord." He said, "Not so, Lord." But that's basically, "No, Lord." Now, how can you say "no" and "Lord" in the same sentence? If He's Lord, you're not going to tell Him no. You're going to do what He tells you to. His will. Sometimes we forget who's Lord. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. It's a way of bringing heaven down. Is there a requirement for us? Does this place a responsibility on us? It does, doesn't it? Don't we have to have this in mind too? We have to live in such a way that heaven comes down. Yes, we ask for it. In earth, as it is in heaven. I know some translations say on earth. King James Version, I think, has it exactly right. In earth. Because what is man? He's earth. He's made out of clay, out of mud, out of dirt, out of earth. So when we say in earth, that means in us also, doesn't it? Yes, it means throughout the whole world, but it also means in us. Give us this day our daily bread. You know, the prayer is split up in seven petitions. The first three have to do with God and who He is. The last four are requests for us. Give us this day our daily bread. This isn't just talking about physical bread, and it's not just about food. Philippians 4:19 says, "My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." The bread is everything that we need from Him. It's also Him Himself, isn't it? Because He's the bread of life. Give us this day our daily bread. This day, when is that? Like now. Each day is this day. Each day is today. You see that word in the Bible a lot. Today, if you'll hear His voice, harden not your heart like they did in the wilderness. Today. Today is the day of salvation. Now. Today, each moment is now. God is a God of now. Yes, he's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. That means he's always been and always will be a God of now, doesn't it? No. When do we come to the Lord? We do it now. Because there may not be another now. Things can happen real fast. And forgive us our debts, or forgive us our transgression. Each sin is a debt owed to God. Jesus bought them all on the cross, didn't he? David said, against you and you alone have I sinned. That's because he owns our sin. Maybe David was looking forward to when Jesus would be on that cross paying the price, buying all that sin. Some translations, as I said, says, forgive us our trespasses. What is the trespasser? Is to be in a place unlawfully. When Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit, they were trespassing. They were going where they weren't supposed to go. They were also stealing, weren't they? In fact, I was thinking about this last night, and I thought, you know, how many commandments did they break? They didn't have the Ten Commandments yet, but yet, how many did they break? A large percentage of them. They put their throne above God and did what they wanted to do. That breaks the first three, doesn't it? Thou shalt not lie. You know, when you deflect the blame to someone else like they both did, that's like lying. That's bearing false witness, isn't it? They stole? And you think about it, everybody that has ever died was because of them. So they killed also. Adultery? God looks at adultery like, or looks at idolatry as adultery. So it is a form of adultery. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. The two go together. How can we enjoy God's blessings if we're under the weight of unforgiven sin? It's a wonder. It's wonderful that God is a giver, but it's even more wonderful that he is a forgiver. See, we can have a full stomach and still go to hell, can't we? As we forgive those that trespass against us. Jesus told a parable about a king that called two of his servants forward because they owed him money. One of them a little bit, one of them a lot. I mean, a lot. Probably the equivalent of millions of dollars. But he forgave both debts. One of them went and encountered someone that owed him money. He had him put in prison. The king called him back and said, I forgave you a lot. And he's forgiven each one of us a lot. So what does it do to that forgiveness, what he did for us, if we don't also forgive? It's really dishonoring to him, isn't it? We're not really placing very much value on his forgiveness if we don't, in turn, forgive others. Lead us not into temptation. Once again, it says us. Grace teaches us that we are to be as concerned for our brothers and sisters as we are for ourselves. So what's our part? Lead us not into temptation. Does that mean if we end up in temptation, it's God's fault? No. Because he's going to be telling us, you shouldn't go there. You shouldn't do that. You shouldn't be around those people. We have to heed his voice. We have to be listening to his voice. Maybe it would probably be a good idea if every decision we make, we ask him what he thinks. what he wants. Because after all, his will be done. That's for our benefit, isn't it? We have to avoid situations, places, and people where we know we can get in trouble. But deliver us from evil. Some translations are literally, it's the evil one. We're not to pray to be exempted from temptations. But we need to pray for that still small voice. We need to pray for his strength. And we also need to be exempted from the judgment of them. John 17:15. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Can God keep us from giving in to the evil one? From doing horrible things? From being horrible people? He already has, hasn't he? One thing I learned when I was ministering in the jail was the people in there weren't really any different than anybody else. Because I can honestly say, there but for the grace of God, go I. Because I'm capable of doing everything that they did. It doesn't matter. I'm capable of being just as evil as Adolf Hitler. What's the difference? The grace of God. We see the work of each member of the Godhead at work here. Who gives us our daily bread? The Father? Yeah. Who mediates and offered himself as a sacrifice for the forgiveness of our sins? The Son. Who leads us and seals us to protect us from the evil one? The Holy Spirit. And he also intercedes for us as well. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. The kingdom, the authority. The power, that's ability, the might, the means, and the glory. That's his motivation. Why would he do it? For his glory. His glory is how he reveals himself to his people. And he wants, always wants, to be revealing himself to us. We see the clauses of this prayer throughout the Old Testament. 1 Chronicles 29:11. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. For how long? He tells us, forever. That's a long time. When we've been there 10,000 years, right, shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. After 10,000 years, it's still going to be day one. And it ends, of course, with the word amen. Amen expresses both our desire and our faith. The meaning of amen, there's two meanings. That's why a lot of people say amen and amen. It means so be it. And it also means it will be. If it will be, why do we say so be it? Because God wants us to take part in what he's doing, doesn't he? Why did he tell Elijah to pray for rain when he already told Elijah he was going to send the rain? Because God is God. Amen and amen. Lord, we praise you and thank you. What an awesome God. What a loving Father. You want the best for each one of us, Lord. Do your work in us, Lord. Fulfill your purpose in each one of us. Your plans that you have for each one of us, Lord, may they be completed. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your gift of salvation. If there's anybody here this morning that hasn't received Jesus Christ as their Savior, they need to come talk to me. I don't want anybody to leave this building without Jesus. I want to see everybody in here in heaven. Lord, your love is beyond anything we can imagine. We thank you, Lord. Bless your people today and bring us back safe when we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, everybody, for coming this morning. That concludes our service.